RV Family Travel Atlas is brought to you by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation, the industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
And by Cabela's. Cabela's has everything you need to get your family into the great outdoors. Visit Cabela's.com and make sure your next camping trip is one for the record books.
And by Camp Casual. Family owned and operated since 2014, Camp Casual is committed to bringing retro-inspired dishware and vintage home goods to the camping and RVing community. Visit CampCasual.com to see what fun products you can add to liven up your campsite, your RV, and your home.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes, and also Sweet Maggie the camping dog.
You can read about our adventures at RVFTA.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are taking you to Custer State Park, another one of our very favorite places that we explored as a family this past summer on our South Dakota tour.
Custer is one of the most famous state parks in the country and offers as much to see and do as many of our country's most popular national parks. We'll talk about all the highlights of our three-night stay.
You might think Custer State Park is worthy of a day trip while visiting Mount Rushmore, but we know Custer deserves its own spot on your RV vacation bucket list. You are listening to episode 212, 10 Amazing Experiences in Custer State Park.
Before we head into this week's feature topic, 10 Amazing Experiences in Custer State Park, it's time for a sponsored message from our friends at Cabela's.
All right, so if you have any need for those last-minute Christmas presents, we're going to suggest right now that a gift card for both Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's, because you can use the gift card at both places, is a pretty good option. Hey, Jeremy, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever bought a gift, say, on Christmas morning?
Oh my gosh, that is wrong.
You've done it.
That's wrong. Just for the historical record, it wasn't for you.
It wasn't for me.
I remember exactly what you're talking about. I'm not going to say which family member it was for, but it was not for you. I did not forget to get you a Christmas
present.
All
right. So I'm thinking that if you've done that before, there's some other people out there that do that. Oh, holy moly, I need a last minute gift.
Here's the real skinny. If it's for a guy, he's going to be totally cool with getting a gift card on Christmas.
I think there's a lot of ladies out there.
If it's for a lady, I don't know. I'll leave that up to you to decide.
Well, you can get the gift card and then you can just print it out and actually put it in the card. So this is really a great last minute option. So we wanted to throw that out if you're listening to this podcast right before the holidays. You know, you got things that are on our wish, you know, that have been on our wish list in the past. Things that we featured like Cabela's Camp Kitchen, Polar Cap Equalizer, coolers, and zero gravity camp chairs. We also did a Facebook Live that's over in our RVFTA, the group, this past week at the store, at the Cabela store in Newark, Delaware.
Which we can't link to because I did the live in our Facebook group instead of on our public Facebook page, which was an accident that I did.
But you can go over and see it in the group.
It's a great reason to join the group. I pinned it to the top of
yes.
the group.
All right. So you can really find it easily. You can check out Cabela's full line of affordable outdoor gear at Cabela's.com. Cabela's, it's in your nature.
All right, it's time for What's Cooking with RVFTA. And What's Cooking with RVFTA is we have collaborated with Kate Dunbar on a number one best-selling cookbook in the Amazon store. So, Stephanie, tell everybody a little bit about the Campground Gourmet and then give us a recipe for the Campground Gourmet.
Okay, so the Campground Gourmet is an ebook. Okay, it's over 100 pages of recipes, and they are simple recipes that you don't have to have a really high level of kitchen and cooking knowledge to be able to execute. That was one of our goals. And our goal is also to just give really yummy recipes that are very family friendly, but with a little bit of a real world fancy food twist, right? Instead of like just big pots of beef stew, right? That you get on a lot of campground.
Cheeseburgers.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the typical
meat,
you know, weenie roast kind of
stuff. Stephanie asks me, what am I making for dinner at the campground?
Meat.
I'm like, meat.
Meat. I'm making you meat. You're in charge of the sides.
Four different meat options. You're pretty happy, though, that I've been making good pork chops. I wish you could admit that.
Yeah, I do admit it. You just have to do one thing at a time, and I understand that. You're
Which
not going to like
vegetables.
Last year, you couldn't boil water, so I can't expect, you know, too much. You've come a long way, baby.
I have.
All right, so you can just download it to any device because you can use the Kindle app on any device. Now, today, I wanted to feature something that I did feel was a little more camp foodie from the book, right? And this is the Campfire Chicken and Sausage Gumbo. So in the Campfire Chicken and Sausage Gumbo, Kate really makes this recipe so that you can do it over a campfire in a Dutch oven.
Can you show me the picture?
You're looking over here.
Oh my gosh, about to fall out of my chair.
I printed it in black and white, so it's not color, but it's really beautiful.
Kate's food looks really good in black and white.
It does look good even in black and white, all right? So this is a nice Dutch oven recipe if you want to try it over the campfire, but then of course you can always just do the same thing on your stove at home, and that's what we wanted all these recipes to be about, right? Good for anyone at any time. So this takes a pound of andouille sausage, and she cuts it up in 1-inch round slices. Then she takes a cooked whole roasted chicken with shredded light and dark meat. And I love this because if you're like me, grabbing one of those rotisserie chickens at Costco or at the supermarket is one of my favorite shortcuts for so many meals, like chicken enchiladas or anything like that. You just get that roasted chicken all the way, you know, cooked already and then shred it up. And that's what you can do with this recipe to make it easy. Then you take a cup of vegetable oil, a cup of all-purpose flour, a medium onion diced, a green pepper diced, 2 stalks of celery, some chicken stock, some diced tomatoes, water, garlic cloves, Worcestershire sauce, Cajun seasoning, bay leaves, Louisiana hot sauce, dried thyme, and some cooked rice. So really, you can do so much of this, like the cooked rice,
prep
the chicken.
Ahead.
Yeah, it's all ahead. And then you're just going to have it all there ready to prepare in the Dutch oven over
this would
the
be
fire.
Like, for us, if we did this, I think we would prep a lot of that stuff ahead and then do it for like a big Saturday night dinner.
Yeah. And then when you get it, it's really easy to do over the Dutch oven between, you know, like browning the sausage, and then you're basically cooking it for like an hour over the campfire, which I think is like the typical time that you would expect to cook chili or anything like that. So totally doable. You know, you build your fire at like 5 and then you're eating at 7, you know.
And then you transition right into a nice warm campfire.
Exactly.
One of my favorite things about cooking over the campfire is then you just turn it into the evening campfire.
All right. So that is
we got a contest, and this is this is like last chance.
Yeah, this is
so
last chance.
So if you have bought the Campground Gourmet, or if you buy the Campground Gourmet and you leave a review, a verified purchase review on Amazon, we're going to put you in the running for a $100 Cabela's gift card. And you're running out of time because we're going to end this on January 1st. Is that correct, Stephanie?
Yeah, you have till midnight on December 31st to leave that review.
You know people are going to be looking at 12:01. Now, there's about 50 reviews there now. So you have a 1 in 50 chance.
That's a great lottery.
That's the best chance you're ever going to have to win a $100 Cabela's gift card. So even if another 50 of you leave reviews in the next week, you got a 1 in 100 chance to win that gift card.
All right, if you're wondering if this cookbook is like a good fit for you, what we've tried to do over the past few months is share recipes that really give you an idea of all of the different types of recipes that are in this book. So over on the blog at rbfta.com, if you actually go to the blog tab, there are like about 10 probably at this point recipes from this book over on the blog. And they, you know, highlight between breakfast, kebabs, bread, dessert, the mug cakes that we have in
and
here.
And don't think we're going to put every recipe up on the blog.
No, it's
I
not
mean, this is
happen.
Our this is our winter opening segment is to do these recipes with Kate. In the spring, we're going to have a different opening segment. So don't just sit there and think, oh, well, I don't have to buy it because they're going to give me all these recipes for free.
Speaking of our spring different opening segment, make sure you stay tuned to the RBFTA News Roundup at the end of the show because we are telling you what we're doing for the opening spring segment and we need your help with it, so you will want to tune in to the end of the show.
Yeah, I'm just beyond excited for the spring
season. Don't say anything
season.
Else. Oh,
I can't say anything.
No, because
about what
you always know. No, we'll talk about it at the end of the show.
I'll say this. We're doing something we've never done before. We're doing something very different with the spring season of RVFTA, and I think it's going to be really inspirational.
All right. So right now, what's going to be inspirational is us diving in to why Custer State Park really deserves to be alongside of all of your national park bucket list destinations. So stay tuned. We're going to tell you 10 amazing things that you want to do in and around Custer State Park.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are about to dive into our first segment on 10 amazing experiences in and right around Custer State Park in South Dakota. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories together. And today, Jayco offers everything from camping trailers to gas Class A motorhomes, complete with more standard features and a longer, stronger 2-year limited warranty. Jayco gives you the value you're looking for and the peace of mind you deserve. Lots of family fun is to be had around a campfire with a Jayco nearby. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com. Jayco, generations of family fun.
All right, this is our third episode in a series of podcasts we've done on South Dakota. And so, like, on the main RV Family Travel Atlas program, we did 12 tips for visiting Mount Rushmore. Then that same week, on the Campground of the Week, we did our Rafter J review. We also did an RVFTA episode, Greetings from Badlands National Park, and that one just came out recently, and we reviewed the Cedar Pass Campground. Now, this week, we're doing these tips from Custer State Park, and over on Campground of the Week, we are reviewing Bluebell and talking a little bit about some of the other campgrounds in Custer State Park, because there are 9 of them.
Yeah, so you can definitely check out the RVFTA South Dakota tag, right? If you just Google RVFTA South Dakota, all of these are going to pop up in a nice list for you. You can go to our website and see that tag and just go through the tag and see the different places. We also have some great reviews from, like, Carrie Cox on the Badlands KOA to offer you even more options. So we think that over and over again, we hear that people go through South Dakota and they're amazed at how much it offers and how it over delivers on a wonderful family vacation. So we decided we wanted South Dakota to be the main event of our summer travels instead of somewhere that we pass through on our way to somewhere else. And we did it, and we are so glad we did. It delivered in every possible way.
And I would never say Yellowstone is overrated, but I really do think that so many of these things in South Dakota are just officially underrated, and people don't realize how grand they are until they get there.
And I would say that we have a lot of friends who actually have said that they saw more wildlife in Custer State Park than they did in Yellowstone.
My close friend from Montana has told, and he goes to Yellowstone
regularly
for photography. He says that he almost always sees more wildlife and that it is closer to him in Badlands National Park.
Yeah. So we stayed, when we were in Custer State Park, we stayed in the Bluebell Campground. That's reviewed over on Campground of the Week. Remember, as we remind you over on that podcast too, Jeremy just mentioned, there are 9 campgrounds in Custer State Park. We're not going to go through all of them on this show. We're going to talk more about the things to do. Check out Campground of the Week to hear us kind of talk more about your different options and where you might want to stay. Either way, I will repeat from that podcast, we do believe that staying in the park will completely change how you view Custer State Park. So quite often, there's quite a few wonderful campgrounds around Custer State Park.
Rafter J's not that far.
30 minutes away. And there's other ones like Palmer Gulch KOA, which is a very popular.
I love it.
Right. And so many people would be like, well, why wouldn't you just stay there and just drive the half hour for the day to get into the state park? We feel that our experience at Custer was so transformed by the fact that we were there in the park in the morning, in the late evening. We were going around, we were walking out of the campground to do some of these activities, the ranger programs. All of these things could not have happened in a day visit.
Such a great point. We would not have done the ranger programs. There would have been, if we drove in for the day from Rafter J, there was like a 50-50 chance we would not have seen bison.
And we'll explain more about how we know that later.
Staying in Custer, we saw hundreds of bison.
Yeah. And too, the deer that wander through the campsite, the pronghorn, they were just, it really is these experiences. It's not all at one time. It's not one drive through and you see everything. It's over the course of days, you have many amazing experiences. So we do recommend, look, should you go for a day if you decide you don't want to stay in the park and you do want to stay outside the park?
Oh, it's not like you should skip
it. Definitely. But just know that staying here is an experience in and of itself.
And everyone wants to know, like, how many nights should I do at Badlands? How many nights should I do at Custer? We stayed 3 nights, and I felt like it wasn't enough. You know, ideally, yeah. 5 nights would have been great for me personally. Like, I would have loved it if we had carved out five nights.
Well, right, and we were going after this to Rafter J, so we didn't feel the pressure to go to Mount Rushmore, anything like that, while we were staying here. We really felt that we could just do all of the stuff in the park. But we could not fit everything that we wanted to do in. I would say 3 full days.
4 nights, 3 full days. Yeah, that's a solid recommendation.
You could definitely do. Yeah, definitely do. But again, more than a day trip will pay off in spades.
All right, let's give 10 tips for amazing things to do in Custer. And the first one we didn't do ourselves, but we're going to recommend
it. So we're
going to
get it out of the way.
We did almost everything on this list.
It's almost like a joke, because anybody that's listened to our travel episodes of national parks, the first thing that we always do is give this little stern lecture on how important it is to not be a know-it-all and to go into the visitor center and talk to the rangers and see what you should do. Like, we really have wonderful experiences at visitor centers. Well, because of just a bazillion little things that happen,
You know why we didn't go there? Bison madness.
Yeah.
There's bison everywhere. Every time we hopped in the car and drove somewhere right outside of Bluebell, all over, we were just seeing bison everywhere, and we were all spellbound by it, and we were having so many bison sightings, we just didn't get to the visitor center.
The boys, it was so funny, because the visitor center is right near the entrance that we actually came in on, that's near Game Lodge.
And what did we see when we pulled into the entrance?
Right, a bison standing there, right there, a bison gym. Going in. Now, our boys were so spellbound, and we were in the middle of doing all these fun activities. And every time, either before we were going somewhere or after we were going somewhere, it was kind of like, do you want to stop in the visitor center? And the boys were kind of like, no, let's drive around.
There's
more.
Another bison.
Yeah, it just kind of, there's also the Peter Norbeck Education Center, which is right next to the visitor center. And I want you to know that we have heard people rave about this visitor center and education center. The pictures look great. There's no excuse for the fact that we didn't go. And it's almost like a joke. I can't believe it. So just make sure you get into the visitor center.
This is, again, back to my point. Out of everywhere in South Dakota that I want to return to, it's Custer that I want to return to more than anything else. So that's the first thing you got to do. Second thing you've got to do, and budget a lot of time for it, and maybe even budget doing it
multiple
twice,
times, yeah.
Doing it multiple times, is the Wildlife Loop Road. 18 miles, we saw bison, we saw pronghorn, we saw whitetail. It was a photographer's dream. We saw elk, we saw coyotes, we saw burros, prairie dogs, eagles, and hawks. It was wonderful.
Yeah, so of course, the typical advice is to do early morning or late night, right? That's when wildlife comes out and does a lot of their feeding.
Early evening.
Yeah, early evening.
Not late night. Don't go out at midnight looking for bison.
Late night. Our FDA gives a pretty bad.
All you wildlife photographers out there, do a late night bison run.
Bad advice.
No,
all
early
right.
evening.
No, early evening when everybody feeds, right? So, and we found this to be so true. So the best bison jam that we got into the whole time we were there was in the morning. We were actually trying to get somewhere by a certain time. We left the campground at 8:30. And we were swarmed, and it was the best experience of our entire stay there. Hundreds of bison surrounding us, babies nursing right next to our car. It was unbelievable.
It's amazing. And this flows into tip 3. The Wildlife Loop Road and bison, to me, were better than the Needles Highway.
Oh, wait. But I want to say something more about the Wildlife Loop, because there's the begging burros on the Wildlife Loop. And I have to say that one of the greatest disappointments of my time there was when we saw them, we didn't stop because we were on the tour. And then when we went back the next time, because I really wanted to feed the wildlife, and I'll explain that, but they were way off in the distance. They had gone away for the night, pretty much. They had eaten their fill and gone away. And here's the thing with the begging burros. These are feral burros that used to be, you know, they used to be farm animals for people that came over, the settlers. They ended up being wild. So I don't, they get fed by everybody. And this is the only bit of wildlife that I would say I wanted to feed, like carrots. I had carrots in the car to feed them because to me, they aren't really wild animals.
One of the reasons we didn't pull
like,
over the first time,
they're
was there was
donkeys.
There was like
please.
Dozens of people feeding them.
Yeah. So I'm going to say like, I was kind of going to be like, oh, but these are okay to feed. And I have the whole like reasoning for that in my head. And we saw them, but we didn't stop. And just definitely they were super cute and everybody was taking pictures next to them. So I'm bummed about that and definitely want you to do that if you see them.
Yeah. Now the next tip, tip three, Needles Highway. It's incredible. And I think that probably for most people that go to Custer State Park or day trip into Custer State Park, they're heading to Needles Highway. Like that's the main event. I mean, for me personally, like the Wildlife Loop Road is even better, but why compare? I mean, they're both incredible. This drive, it's famous. I mean, you go through the tunnel that's only 8 feet wide and 11 feet tall. We did drive our F-250 through. It was a little tight, but people had told me ahead of time, like, yeah.
Brought in our mirrors.
You can get a big pickup truck through there. You ain't towing your RV through there, people.
No.
Maybe a pop-up camper, but I'm not recommending. I mean, I wouldn't even recommend
that. Why would you even say that?
A tiny little... because at the campground at Sylvan Lake... don't quote me on this. I thought there were some pop-up campers there, but you're a responsible listener to check and see if I'm right.
Yeah, I wouldn't even. Because somebody, apparently, the day that we went through, I heard people saying that somebody in like a Class C or a truck camper, one of those, they had gotten stuck. Like, it really.
Yeah, be really careful.
It's not like it sneaks up on you. It's famous. Like, you know, it's, but the, you know, some kids get in the back of the pickup truck to drive through and everything. And like, it's fun. And the walls really are right there. But really, this is a great drive to Sylvan Lake. And that is stunning show.
And that's our next tip. That's tip four is you've got to plan on spending some serious time at Sylvan Lake. I went swimming. It was really cold. It felt really good after the long hike we did. We hiked the Sunday Gulch Trail, which was a really much more strenuous hike than we thought it was going to be.
Okay, this is my other thing about these hiking books that you get. Because Custer State Park rates the Sunday Gulch Trail as strenuous. Now, in other books you see, I feel like it doesn't really express how strenuous this trail was. So this is 3 miles. And it's a loop. So it's a 3 mile loop. And
there's a lot of up and down, a lot of rock picking.
Really, like the one area that we started at because it was the harder way. So we thought, well, let's start at the harder side. And we went counterclockwise behind the dam, behind the lake. And you went straight down on these rocks that was basically a stream flowing through. They have iron handles and rails going down the whole way to actually hold on to. We brought Maggie on this hike. She did the best out of all of us. She did great.
It did make it slower. Here's what I would say. Like, and it almost pains me to say this a little bit. By the end of this hike, like the kids were kind of miserable. I just got to be honest. Like, I think that like if you had teenagers or your kids were sort of 10 and up or 12 years old, like, and they're good hikers, you're good to go. This hike definitely sort of maxed our family out.
Wesley, like the fact that he was still going at the end, I was like, baby, we're almost there. We sucked every bit of energy out of these kids on this hike. It was, I think, the most challenging hike we've ever done with them, and they've hiked a lot.
Yeah, like, and just on paper, it doesn't look like it's going to be.
No,
our main issue was having a five-year-old with us.
So it was gorgeous. Yeah. So the beginning of the hike, I mean, if you just want to go down and come back up that water area, like that might be good. The problem always with a loop trail is that once we were a mile and a half in, it's just as hard to go back as it is to keep going.
Big to be in a backpack.
Yeah.
So someone with really little kids who's an ambitious hiker and very athletic, and you want to throw a kid in a backpack, like you might be good to go.
This would be easier with
a 5 year old that was doing the entire walk on foot. Man, it was tough by the end.
Yeah.
You could also go up to Sylvan Lake and just do the walk around the lake.
Right. So there's this really nice, peaceful little hike down below that you can do. You can rent paddle boards and, I mean, kayaks and canoes there. There was somebody getting married there the day that we were there.
There
was a wedding. So there was the beach where you could swim, like you said. So it really is a nice place to spend the day.
You don't have to go up and do an incredible hike. And there's other much, you know, longer hikes that are awesome that people love as well. I picked this one because it was the 3 miles round trip. So I thought like, that's a good, you know, like our family's good to 3 to 5
three
miles.
Three is like whatever. Well, three is nothing.
I mean, even
yeah.
five for us yeah. is not hard, but this was a hard 3 mile hike. I mean, in Oregon, we hiked with the kids eight miles, you know, but it was relatively flat and easy. So just think about your family right. and their ability before you do the
So beautiful, the amazing, but serious, but definitely strenuous. And then we ate at the lodge afterwards, snack bar-y kind of stuff, cheeseburgers, pizza.
I mean, yes. I we must have been there on a Saturday. I mean, it was really crowded.
I think we were in Custer over the weekend.
Yeah, if you're
for
going
sure.
on the weekend, like consider packing food to go up to Sylvan Lake because it's such a hot destination in Custer. That's where everyone wants to go. We had to wait like half an hour to get like pizza slices and burgers or whatever we got.
All right, now the other really scenic drive that we want to recommend. So this is number five is Iron Mountain Road. Now, this is the road that's going to take you north out of the state park right to Mount Rushmore. So if you're visiting Mount Rushmore while you're in Custer State Park, you'll want to combine your drive of Iron Mountain Road with your visit to Mount Rushmore. And this is where you're going to find, again, more of those tunnels. They're not as skinny as the ones on Needle Highway, right? I think 13 feet is the average width of like the three tunnels that are on the Iron Mountain Road. But this is where you'll find one of those tunnels that gives you that through the tunnel view of Mount Rushmore. So it has some of those photo ops that you've probably seen, you know, people take on social media.
And I would have to say, like it was when we were in Ireland on our honeymoon, or like it was when we were in Olympic National Park, like driving in South Dakota is kind of a pleasure. Like it's really fun. I mean, when you're coming from east to west, just driving out, it's a really nice drive. And then once you're in the Black Hills, like you want to budget a little time to just enjoy the drive and pull over and look at this and look at that.
That was the highlight, I think, for us, the driving. Yeah, I mean, that's what you're doing. And it's nice to have a destination like Sylvan Lake or like, you know, but definitely enjoy the drive.
Yeah, and I have to say, like my three favorite states for camping and RV travel in my life at this point would have to be like Washington, Oregon, and South Dakota. I just really put South Dakota up there really, really high on my list of favorite things.
And you said the boys are doing that too. I think they always change
they're talking nonstop about the South Dakota trip. It's months later now. And
yeah.
This trip captured their imagination. And Olympic did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Olympic National Park in Washington, just the grandeur of it really captured their imaginations. And I think it's one of the trips that in retrospect is even better than we realized it at the time. Like when we were in Olympic, I think we knew like this is ridiculously amazing. But South Dakota, I feel like after leaving, it's still kind of growing in us and we're appreciating it even more as the time goes by.
All right, we've got five more amazing things to see and do in and around Custer State Park in South Dakota. So stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time to give you five more great tips for really fun things to do at Custer State Park. But before we dive in and do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have everything that you need to keep your tanks in tip-top shape. Now, one of the most important parts of keeping your tanks in tip-top shape is not putting anything down there that you shouldn't be putting down there, like toilet paper that isn't specifically designed to play nice with the RV.
Could plug things up.
Yeah. I mean, Paula explained.
I don't care what anybody says.
On the internet, they say, oh, septic safe toilet. And Paula said that may be the case for some brands, but not necessarily for all brands. When you buy the AquaSoft, you are definitely guaranteed to get tissue that is going to dissolve.
Just because a bunch of old cranky guys on Facebook and on the internet say you don't need RV-specific toilet paper doesn't mean that's true. And I'll tell you why. Because those old cranky guys that don't use RV-specific toilet paper are not my 5 and 9-year-old sons who use a lot of toilet paper.
Yeah.
Those guys use like one square army style and they're done.
Yeah.
Right?
And especially if you are trying to conserve water because you're boondocking or dry camping and you don't want to, like we tell our kids, flush with lots of water when we're hooked up, then you're also playing footloose and fancy free. Who knows what's going to happen anyway? Lucky you. We've got stocking stuffers from Thetford, toilet paper, baby, 2-ply, AquaSoft.
I would be totally happy if I had a few of those in my stocking.
Okay, well, then I'm going to go out to the camper on Christmas Eve and stuff your stocking with toilet paper. We'll see if it's really true.
A big smile on my face.
All right.
Now, at Custer State Park, we actually did some ticketed things.
Yeah.
And the first one was a little bit of a mixed bag. I think, you know, we're still going to recommend it. And then the second one was one of the greatest things we've ever done together as a family. So the first thing was the Buffalo Safari Jeep Tour. People do rave about this, but for
let's be clear. There's some people that say that this was one of the best experiences they've ever had when traveling. So,
and I can see that.
Right. We need to like take a step back and understand what it is and why different people might have different experiences.
Well,
so what
is the wildlife
do?
Out or is the wildlife not out?
Yeah.
You know, 'cause it's $55 for adults and it's $50 for children. So it's not cheap, frankly. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying it's overpriced or it's a ripoff, but it's not cheap. And it's just one of those things, like, you know, like you mentioned here in the notes, Stephanie, like whale watching, where you could spend a good amount of money and it could be a bit of a bust. So the night we went, we just, the wildlife were really far away. And, you know, like, ironically, the rest of the time we were in Custer State Park, when we were just driving our truck around, the wildlife were everywhere and coming right up to the truck. It was almost like God was playing a joke on us.
It was like joke, like, haha, you silly gooses, you paid and got nothing. And then here you're just driving around.
You want wildlife? I'll show you
wildlife.
Yeah,
and the whole idea was we didn't really have any ticketed events for the entire trip. I mean, these were our big splurge event. And I specifically was like, well, let's do them both. Hey, because, you know, this is like once in a lifetime and my kids have never seen animals like this. So it's 1.5 to 2 hours and you're in this open kind of off-road Jeep. And to be quite frank, most of the time you are just on the wildlife loop. You go off-road a couple of times, but it's not a lot.
There were some cool spots he took us off-road. It's just at the, I think we need to be brutally honest. Like the boys fell asleep.
Yeah. So this was the very first night we were there. And the point was to be like, oh my gosh, this is going to be an amazing introduction to Custer State Park. And it was a little bit of a bust because we didn't see anything really worth seeing. We learned a lot about the history of the park. That our tour guide was incredibly interesting, telling us all about the roundups and the auctions every year and stuff. But it wasn't what we were looking for.
I'm sure that someone else could go and not see any wildlife when they're driving around in their own truck, and then this might be the only way you would see wildlife, because the guys that are driving the Jeeps, they're radioing each other. They're like, oh, bison spotting at 12 o'clock. You know, they're sharing the best information. That's the better information than you're going to have to find the bison, but it just didn't work out that way for us.
I know. Yeah. So this is a hit or a miss. Like, in and of itself, it could be an amazing experience, and many people have said it was amazing, but for us, it really wasn't. You do leave right from the game lodge, and you mentioned the price, and here's the one other thing. You can turn it into a chuck wagon dinner also. So you can purchase just the Jeep tour, or for an additional cost, you can then add the chuck wagon tour dinner to it so that you get to where the chuck wagon dinner was that we had.
But then you don't ride on the chuck wagon?
Exactly.
You ride
on the Jeep.
Yeah, the Jeep brings you to the chuck wagon dinner.
Don't you remember they pulled up when we were there? Yeah.
So the next night we separately did the chuck wagon dinner and the tour in the chuck wagon. I think that's preferable. Because the chuck wagon ride was awesome. And there was it Cowboy Dave? I don't know if you have his name.
Yeah, no, I couldn't remember.
I think it was Cowboy Dave.
Bill.
Played songs the entire way out there. He had this very witty repartee.
It was a sing-along.
We're singing Willie Nelson, Bob
singing
Dylan.
This land is your land. It was really
And
adorable.
To miss out on that because you end up having the Jeep take you there would be a bit of a disappointment. Now, the chuck wagon dinner, so the ride out on the chuck wagon, which departs from Bluebell, and they give you your corny cowboy hats, it was magical. Like, it was, like, absolutely magical. And then the dinner itself was really good. The steak was absolutely terrific.
You could get steak or hamburgers. Those were your choices. And then they also did have vegetarian options available. It said you had to inquire. So I'm not sure what the vegetarian... They'd probably give you, like, a salad.
It's like a hot dog.
So you for the steak, vegetarian option.
Vegetarian, here's a hot dog.
All right. So the adults are $58 and the children are $51.
But this is like a Disney-level type experience. Right. And it's even better in a sense because it's like you are in South Dakota. You are in the West. You know, yeah. You are at Custer State Park. This was one of my 10 travel highlights of my life with the kids. The boys were deeply engaged with this. They were singing along. They loved the meal. The meal was terrific. And this is something where you're going to drop $200, mm-hmm. but it's not like you're relying on seeing the bison to make it worth it.
And you're also getting dinner, too, which you have to eat anyway. So,
and the steaks will be there waiting. It's not like you're going to show up and be like, oh, the steaks didn't show up tonight, you know?
Right. So a lot of people would ask us which, you know, I'm going to choose. Because we know that. Most people would choose, honestly. We were having a pretty, like, you know, like, when you're visiting all of, like, national parks and everything, you're not spending a lot of money on ticketed items. So I just decided to go ahead and do both.
The campground was like $25 a night.
Yeah. It was kind of like my big splurge. I'm into that sometimes. Like I sit there and I go, why not just do it instead of going all the way out to South Dakota and saying, you know, don't do it. But some people were asking me, you know, which would you choose? And I think that it's a no-brainer to choose the Chuck Wagon Tour, because even on that wagon tour out, you're going to see wildlife too.
We had better wildlife sightings on the Chuck Wagon, which can't go very fast to catch up to the bison.
We just had an off night on the Buffalo Safari Jeep Tour.
That's what I'm saying. I am not recommending the Buffalo Safari Jeep Tour. I'm just saying buyer beware. You might have a night like we had, or you might have a night where the bison are coming up and gazing deep into your soul.
Right there, And your kids might be amazed at being in an open Jeep. You know, like that for your kids might be a real, you know, hit. I thought it was going to be more of a hit, but we busted.
Well, it was annoying to spend $200 and look in the back seat and see my three sons asleep. Like, I was annoyed by that.
They were out.
You know, it was just annoying. And I don't blame the Jeep tour. Funny. It was just like things didn't come together for us. The Chuck Wagon tour, if I went back to Custer, I would drop another $200 to do the Chuck Wagon tour and the dinner again.
Yes.
It was so terrific.
It's true. Now, number eight, okay? Now, what I should have done was made my whole family do this. So, horseback riding. I wanted to bring this up in our list because we stayed at Bluebell Campground. And one of the cool parts about staying at Bluebell Campground is that the stables, the Bluebell horse stables, are right there, right attached to the campground. So it's really cool. You can always see the horses there every time you're walking in and out of the campground. And all of these rides leave right from there. And in fact, the hands, the horse hands, I'm not like very well versed in horse language, so pardon me if I get these words wrong, but like, the riding hands, they would go through every morning, and according to the camp host, they were sweeping the trail clean of wildlife. So they go out in the morning before they take the first tours
out. So there's
not
an encounter later between the horses and some bison.
And bison, something. Right. So they go through every morning and make sure kind of shoo them off and everything. And then the trail riders would come by. And so I've had a hard time getting anybody in my family to horseback ride with me. I've done it in the past, but none of my families, like, everybody's a little bit skittish about it and nobody wants to join me. And I always feel like when we're down in Fort Wilderness too, I always feel bad about like just going off on a horse ride by
this
myself.
This could be your year.
I think I'm just going to put my foot down and say I'm going, because I really do enjoy it. And here they have so many different options. They have hour ride, 2 hour rides, half day and full day rides. And really the children, they allow children like 5 and up as long as the child can ride by themselves. You can't have a child on a horse with you. I think it's a really family friendly option right there from the campground. And this trail was gorgeous. It's such a beautiful place along the French Creek. And I don't know if there'd be a more peaceful way to see the countryside.
It's also so cool anytime you can walk from your RV over to something
right,
like that. Like
right.
You walk the Jeep tour, you got to get in the car and drive.
Right.
The Chuck Wagon dinner tour, we just walked. You just walk over to the Bluebell Lodge. Mm-hmm. It's like right around the corner. It's right there.
And the horseback riding would be the two.
Right,
you just go get right
it's
in. Like, I would highly recommend, even more so now, having been there and not been able to like gather my troops to go out on the horseback ride, I would say make a plan to do it, even if it's just the 1 hour or 2 hour ride.
I just thought of a really wacky comparison with Custer State Park, but I think it works. Custer State Park is like the real version of Fort Wilderness. Like, you know how like Fort Wilderness is trying to be like this Western outpost Disney style? And it's wonderful. I'm not knocking Fort Wilderness. I love Fort Wilderness.
But like Custer State Park
is like the real version of what Disney has manufactured in Florida.
Yeah, I think that's kind of true.
I love it, right?
It's true.
I'm like so proud of myself. I just
Fort Wilderness is like the movie set of Custer. Yeah.
Both. I mean, like, I'm not even saying I like one better than the other, you know, because Disney does such a great job of like recreating reality. But Custer State Park, like the whole time I was there, it has like something that's comparable to the Disney magic.
It's pretty amazing.
Real life magic out in the West.
It's a pretty amazing place. Okay. So now, number 9. Now, we said 10 things in Custer State Park, but what we really mean is 10 things right near Custer State Park.
Wind Cave is right there.
Yeah. And so a half hour from Bluebell, even less, about 22 minutes from Bluebell Campground, because Bluebell Campground is located within the state park in a way that you can get to both, I'm going to say the next two, Wind Cave National Park and Jewel Cave National Park. National Monument within a half hour, depending on Buffalo Jams. So that's as long as it takes you to get to Sylvan Lake within the park.
That's a great point.
It's further. Right. Yeah.
It is. It might even be closer.
Yeah, I think so.
And the drive to Wind Cave was really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what we saw? Bison everywhere on the way to Wind Cave. This is another reason why blowing through South Dakota is just such a mistake, because people that blow through really quickly and they do like a day in the Badlands and a day at Mount Rushmore and a day at Crazy Horse, like to not even get to Wind Cave. Wind Cave was phenomenal. It was one of the best days of our trip.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, I think that kids can get caved out, right? Because like you can't do too many caves because like in a row in one trip, because once you know, they can kind of all start to feel the same.
We didn't do Jewel Cave.
Right, because we kind of felt like
there are people that are like Jewel Cave's better, and there are people that Wind Cave's better. Like if you can just do one, I mean, I would say go to Wind Cave because I went there and I know it's great, but people also love Jewel Cave.
Well, yeah, so there's logistics in terms of the tours, and that's what actually landed us at Wind Cave instead of Jewel Cave. So all caves at Wind Cave are seen with a ranger guided tour. You can't just go down into any of them. And no reservations are accepted except for the Candlelight and Wild Cave tours. And both of those are for much older kids and other adults.
Candlelight tour has a minimum age of 8.
Yeah. And then the other one, I think, is 16.
Yeah. So we weren't doing those.
So the ones that we wanted to do, you couldn't make reservations for. What you do is you show up and you get a ticket for the next available tour. And so if you get there early, say 9 o'clock when it's opening up, the next available tour might be 9:30 or 10. But if you get there a little bit later, like 11, all of the tours up until like 4 or 5 might fill up already.
So we got there early as
can be. So we really didn't want to be like getting there and getting a ticketed tour for hours later. So we showed up as early as we could, and we were on like a 10:30 tour. And it was perfect because we were done by lunchtime.
We watched the little movie. We did the gift shop. And I have to give this ranger credit. I mean, I love our National Park Rangers so much, and I appreciate what they do so much. We've had awesome tours all over the country. This may have been the single best tour I've ever been
on. He was wonderful.
This ranger was wonderful. I mean, he was just so talented.
Captivating to the kids.
He was from Boston, so he's giving my Yankee fan sons a hard time and joking with them. And he was just everything that is right about the national park system and everything that is right about our park rangers that just do so much to educate and inspire all of us.
Yeah, a really important point is that you cannot wear shoes that have been in any of the other caves in the country.
So
any
I actually had to wear different shoes
because
we had been into the Bat Caves at Mount St. Helens. What was that called? Bat Cave? The lava tubes.
Yeah.
So I actually could not wear my preferred hiking boots in there. I had to wear my sneakers.
Yeah. So and we had known that ahead of time. Like you had forgotten, but like the boys, it was really important actually because our same hiking shoes had all been in other caves
just a year before.
Yeah. So that's important to know ahead of time. Make sure that you bring different shoes. You don't wear your typical hiking shoes. And then we did the natural entrance tour. I just wanted to mention that that's the one we chose, which was perfect.
It's moderate. It's the most popular one. You actually see the natural entrance where they first found their way into the cave.
You feel the air coming out or going in, depending on the ambient temperature and, like, you know, the
It was chilly down there. I mean, I'm guessing it's like 55 degrees or something.
Yeah, he actually taught us a really interesting fact that, and I'll try to remember it completely and probably get it wrong. But the temperature of the caves, and I forget if this is just for there, if this is everywhere, and I just didn't realize it, is the exact average temperature of the year round temperatures in that area.
It's amazing.
Which was like crazy. Like he said, it's the exact average.
Math can sneak up on you sometimes and just be amazing.
I think it's more like science.
Science like, and math. I'm an English teacher. Occasionally science and math, they just smack me in the face.
You know, there you are.
Some of their truths and realities.
Now, we have to mention, this is not an additional thing to do in our list of 10, but we had lunch in Hot Springs right after. And we have to give credit where credit is due. We drove to Hot Springs like 20 minutes away and we ate at Big Time Pizza. And that pizza was awesome.
And we're snotty New Jersey people. We have the best pizza in the country, right around the corner from my house. And this was like legit pizza. And Hot Springs was like a really cute, funky little town. Mm-hmm.
Lots of little nice shops.
Oh, you could spend an afternoon there for sure.
Well, a lot of people on our Facebook group had raved about the Mammoth Site and Museum in Hot Springs.
And we just didn't get there.
Our kids get museumed and toured out quickly. They will do really well, but then we can't push it. And so they were done and we didn't want to push it and we didn't go. But if you want to make a full day out of this area, that's a good way to do it. Go to the caves, go have lunch, then go to the Mammoth Site.
All right. Now, tip number 10, Jewel Cave National Monument. I mean, I was sitting in the hot tub at Rafter J and I had a whole family telling me they liked that better than Wind Cave, but it's quite a bit different in terms of planning and reservations. So what do people need to know about Jewel Cave if you go?
Okay, yeah. So you can get tickets in advance for the scenic tours, okay? And you can schedule those during the summer season. The advanced ticket sales can be made for dates between 72 hours and 90 days in the future. So you see, by the time we were there, we were within that 72-hour window. And I'm looking online and I'm going, okay, we can't make reservations for these. So you see how it sneaks up on you sometimes, these weird, we were talking about this with the missile, the Minuteman missile, you know, place that in the Badlands. Sometimes these weird reservation
things
facts
that aren't on your itinerary, and then you show up and you're like, everyone's like talking about it and you want to go and you realize you can't go. But we were also running out of time and we've been raving about how South Dakota is a family vacation in its own right. It should not be a stopover. We were there for 10 days or 12 days, and we did not get to do everything we wanted to do.
Yeah, they say that during the summer, cave tours often are sold out by 12 p.m. So you don't want to, you know, risk it. You want to get there early or do that pre-booking in advance if you can nail it down on your itinerary. I'm really glad, in retrospect, that we didn't miss out on going to at least one of those two cave sites.
Oh my God. Wind Cave was a highlight. And I'm really glad that it was like one of the more memorable days of the trip. And just like to review this whole thing, Badlands National Park, Custer State Park, Wind Cave National Park, Mount Rushmore, Crazy Horse, the Black Hills in general. South Dakota is a magnificent state. And I really love and adore South Dakota.
Yeah, we had a great time and we'll definitely be back at some point.
If we drive out to Yellowstone, we will just do a quick stop and maybe do Jewel Cave or do a couple things we didn't do or revisit Custer.
Devil's Tower. But I remember the last day that we were in.
And that's not technically in South Dakota.
Right, but it's
people,
on the way.
People do
it's
it.
Really,
yeah.
You, if we just went a little bit more west and obviously north, we would have passed it. But I, the very last day we were there, we were planning our last day. What are we going to do? And I have to admit, I was on my phone Googling the distance to Devil's Tower because we were so close. And you just at a certain point have to say, no, they'll
also
be next time.
our kids, you know, they want to do activities in the morning and then they want to go in the pool at Rafter J and go in the hot tub at Rafter J and just kick back and play a little catch out in front of the RV. And, you know, we always make sure we build time into our trips for that stuff too. We never feel like we have to do everything on any one given trip.
Absolutely. All right. We are going to be back in a moment with our RVFTA news roundup. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody, and thank you for coming along with us on this terrific journey to Custer State Park. It sure brought back a lot of great memories for me. It's time for the RVFTA News Roundup now, which is sponsored by our friends at Camp Casual.
Camp Casual is family-owned and operated since 2014, and they are committed to bringing retro-inspired dishware and vintage home goods to the camping and RVing community. You can visit campcasual.com to see what fun products you can add to liven up your campsite, your RV, and your home. And we sure hope that you have some Camp Casual items under your Christmas tree.
They make great stocking stuffers, great gifts for the RV enthusiast.
For sure.
Now, this week on Campground of the Week, it's a paired episode. So this whole episode is about Custer State Park. And on Campground of the Week, we reviewed Bluebell Campground, which is inside of Custer State Park. So you got to listen to both of the podcasts together to get the full scoop.
Right. And you can also, while you're at it, listen to our review of Rafter J, because Rafter J is just a short drive away.
But a world away.
A world away. But at the same time, we understand that not everybody is going to do as long of a stay as we are. And if you want to stay there and drive to Custer, we don't think that you're going to get everything out of Custer, but it doesn't matter. You're still going to have a magical time. So that's a way to do it also.
All right. If you have not purchased the Campground Gourmet on Amazon.com, it's time to get a copy.
Go on over. And
you are running out of time. There are only about a week left. So what you have to do is you buy a copy of the Campground Gourmet, then you leave a review on Amazon, and we will put you into the running for a $100 Cabela's gift certificate. There are 50 reviews right now. Everyone in this has a 1 in 50 chance of a $100 Cabela's gift card.
Yeah, that's a good chance. And it's so funny because so many people have, like a lot of people have bought this book and not left a review. So I'm like, you're missing out.
We've sold hundreds and hundreds of copies.
Yeah. And yeah, they haven't left a review. So I'm like, all right, whatever.
Some people just think they can't win.
Right. I'm like, in that mindset because like I never win anything.
You think
so
you
don't
can
even
never
try.
Win a contest? I'm like, yeah, I can win.
Yeah. You believe in yourself.
I used to win.
You were winning concert tickets
winning
left,
concert
right, and sideways when we were teenagers.
And
it's probably the only reason I dated you.
That's a little rough.
Oh my God, we went to a lot.
I got us free tickets like the Wallflowers.
Like a lot. Like you would always be getting free tickets.
I had like.
Remember Sinead O'Connor?
I had the radio station on speed dial.
You said you were good at calling in those radio stations. All right. Now, also, you can buy Campground Gourmet as a gift. I just want to mention that because some people don't know that with an ebook. And it's really easy. It says give as gift. And when you hit that button and you send it, all it does is email to whoever you want this code. And they click on that and they can download it
download
to
it
any
right to
device.
Kindle
it doesn't have to be
or
a Kindle.
Whatever e-reader they have. Yeah. Whatever device.
Whatever
they
device.
Have.
It can be an iPad, an iPhone, a laptop. It doesn't matter.
You're also going to want to make sure you head on over to rvfta.com, our beautiful redesigned website. And we have all the dates for our RV show seminars this winter. There should be 4 or 5 RV shows that are up there all over the country, actually.
Yeah.
Not really the West Coast. But
right.
All over the country, sans the West Coast.
I'm going to be in Milwaukee on January 3rd through 5th. So come say hey.
And we'll
if
both
going to be there.
We're going to be doing the Atlantic City RV show this year, which we know a lot of you have come out to see us sort of on our home turf. And that is a really fun RV show. And there is a very good chance we will be doing sort of a meet and greet at Bass Pro Shop, which is right across the street from the convention center. And we would really love to meet all of our RVFTA peeps from the New Jersey area there.
Okay, now this is really important news. So listen up, folks. We are going to be doing special podcast openers next season. And we want to hear from you. So we want to kick off every single one of our podcast episode next season with the voices of our listeners who have been along on this journey with us for so many years. So we want you to call into RVFTA headquarters, and this is what you have to tell us. We want you to tell us how camping and RVing has changed you and your family for the better. Okay.
Yeah, the transformative power of camping and RVing. How has purchasing an RV, how has camping actually changed your lives as a family?
Yeah. Now we can only use 12 of these. Okay. We've got 12 episodes.
So you can't leave us one and be offended if we don't use it.
You just have to make it good. Okay. There's going to be 12. So we can get 12 in. Now we really highly recommend that you write it out and read it. It's just going to be easier that way. You can always try a few times, practice, but it is something that we want to put at the beginning of the podcast. So if you write it down and you read it, it might go a little bit more smoothly.
Around a minute.
Yeah, keep it under a minute. And we can't wait at all to hear from you guys. Now,
if it's over a minute, that's okay.
I'm not timing you. Here's the phone number. Ready? 614 614- 614-983-0995. That's 614-983-0995.
If Wesley answers, just tell him to hang up.
No, and then call again. Is your mommy or your daddy available?
So tell us, well, how has camping changed you? How has camping changed your family?
Yeah, and we'll also put the phone number in an announcement over on the RVFTA Facebook group so you don't have to get into an accident right now trying to write it down. And we'll also have it in the show notes over on our website. So give us a call, leave us a message. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.